wherever you'd like to be. Okay, give it a try, see if anything. Keshava Drita Mina Sharira. That is your Disha. Krishna comes not only as a human being, but in so many different species of life. Yeah, you're going to find this lecture terribly boring, so you should find a place where you can have fun. Okay. Any adults who find it boring, they're also welcome to go out and play. Generally, fish are not very nice. They're scaly. They stink. They live at the bottom of the sea and eat all sorts of stuff. Sometimes people ask, why are you not allowed to eat fish? In our Krishna consciousness movement, one of our rules is no fish. Then why no fish? Especially in those parts of India where we're living on the side of the ocean, why no fish? The Manusamhita says, one who eats fish eats everything. Because the fish eats everything. Down there at the bottom of the ocean, eating whatever comes their way. And then we eat the fish. But it said, one who eats fish eats everything. So they're considered very low, dirty, contaminated. They smell bad, certainly when they're cooking fish, or even when they're not cooking them, just when they catch the fish on the side of the sea. So the fish are not very adorable. But when Krishna comes as a fish, he's transcendental. He doesn't have the same qualities as the ordinary fish, and we see also that he doesn't perform the activities of an ordinary fish. An ordinary fish basically just eats, sleeps, has sex, and maybe runs away from bigger fish. But Krishna, adbhuta karma, he performs wonderful activities, whether he's a tortoise or he's a fish, whatever form he takes, he performs wonderful activities. Tasya karmani dharani prajitani suri ruina shodhanana ilayam tavata kala. The Naimisharanya sages asked Sutta Goswami, now please tell us about the wonderful activities of Krishna, magnanimous activities of Krishna. He's not only magnanimous to sages like Satyavrata Muni, but he's magnanimous to us also, because by hearing the activities of Krishna, we're all benefited. Parigitani Sudhini, therefore the saintly persons are broadcasting the glories of Krishna. Not only Krishna as a human being, but in all of his different forms. It's the same Krishna, but sometimes he appears in the guise of a fish, sometimes a tortoise, sometimes half man, half lion, sometimes a boar. The boars are even more dirty than the fish. But when Krishna appears as a boar, his activities are all pure. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described that Brahmadeva appeared from the nostril of Lord Brahma. And in a similar way, the fish started out as a tiny fish and then grew and grew and grew. This tiny little boar appeared from the nostril of Lord Brahma and then became very large, huge. And this huge boar had dived into the ocean, again, the lower part of the universe, the ocean. And then, true to form as a boar, he was shaking his body. You know how the boars shake their body? And then, typically, their bristles, their hairs, are wet, and they throw dirty water in every direction. And when you get that on your cloth or on your body, then it's very contaminated. But so Radhadev acted in the same way. He shook his body and all this water was going in every direction. And the sages were all taking it on their heads. Now we're becoming purified. Now we're becoming contaminated. This boar is not only a small boar, but a big boar that shook water all over us. Now we all have to take that. No. Now we're becoming purified. Because they knew that even though he's taken the form of a boar, he's the Supreme Personality of God. He's the Supreme Personality of God. Similarly, the Meena Shriya, although he's taken the body of a fish, he's Krishna, appearing as a fish. Or, even though he's appearing as a human being, for some people, it's easier to understand that God has appeared as a fish, God has appeared as a horse, but then when he appears as a human being, they think that he's something like us. Avajananti mam bhutam manashim taravashutam param pavajananto mam bhutamahishim. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks of certain people as bhutas. Fools. Avajananti mam bhuta. They neglect me. They deride me. They speak ill of me. Why? Manashim taravashrita. Because it appears to them that I've taken on a body like theirs. Krishna is a human being. Like us. Pavam Jananta. They don't know the superior nature of the Supreme Personality of God. Mahabhutamanishra. They don't know that he is the supreme controller of the entire cosmic manifestation. And therefore they can't understand Krishna. They can't understand Krishna. They think they can understand Krishna sometimes. But they don't. Mam Veda Vedashtana. By material speculation, yes, if you would please silence your phones so they won't be silenced. By mental speculation, so many scholars and authors have arrived at this idea, that idea, Krishna's this, Krishna's that. By their own fertile imaginations. And their theories are worth nothing. They're worth nothing. Because they can't understand Krishna that way. Bhaktya mama vijanati. Without becoming a devotee of Krishna, no one can understand Krishna. Not by mental speculation, not by charity, not by Vedic study, not by pious activities. No one can understand Krishna that way. One has to understand Krishna by devotion. emotional service to Krishna. Then Krishna reveals himself, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yomamaya Samavata. To the non-devotees, he's covered by his Yomamaya, his spiritual potency, so that they can't see him. They can't, even if they see him, they can't understand. Kamsa saw Krishna, but he couldn't understand Krishna. He couldn't understand. Although seeing, he wasn't seeing. Why? Why not? Because he wasn't a devotee of Krishna. Even though he could see Krishna face to face, Shishupal, so many demons. They thought that Krishna's a human being. They fooled Krishna. Oh, he's dancing with gopis. So it's something like our business. Or did he make it aside that Krishna is immoral? They don't understand Krishna. It's not such an easy thing that I'll simply speculate and I'll understand God. One has to take to the process of bhakti yoga under proper guidance. Then one can begin to understand Krishna. Why should I care? What is the benefit? Janma karma chane divyam eva yogi tatvata chaktva deham punarjanma naiti mami. Chakradeva. Everyone has to give up this body. It's not a question of belief. Some people say, well, if you believe in this, then it's good for you. If you believe in that, then it's good for you. But death is not a question of belief. You believe in it, you don't believe in it. Jata Srihi Guru. Krishna says, for one who's born, death is certain. Not a question of my religion, your religion. Fact is fact. Fact is fact. We may not know what the fact is, but fact is fact. But Krishna says, for one who is born, death is certain. Job tells you to be Dhruva Mahatma. And Dhruva Janma Mahatma. Dhruvam janma mrityu cha. And for one who's died, birth is certain. It's not a question of if you believe it. Krishna says, this is the fact. After dying, one has to take another birth. And people are so foolish, they don't care. They don't take it into account, they don't think about it. They're very interested in their future, but only up to 5 years, 10 years, 100 years. And what happens when this life is finished? Our modern civilization is so advanced that they don't care. That means advanced in foolishness. Advanced in foolishness. Only concerned with this one spot life. And then not looking beyond. Not even asking. Just, this life is everything. Live for the present. This is the business of the dogs and hogs and monkeys. If this is a great virtue to live for the present, then every monkey is virtuous. The monkeys all live for the present. The dogs all live for the present. The pigs all live for the present. But if a human being just lives to satisfy his senses in the present, then he's no better than a hog or a dog or a monkey. And that's our modern civilization, producing hogs, dogs, and monkeys. My business is to eat and sleep and have sex and enjoy my own future. But if you believe in reincarnation, that's all right for you. It's not like that. Birth and death are not governed by our believing in them or not. So, Guruvam Janamavritasya, Krishna says, Guruvam dies, birth is certain. And not only one birth, but millions and millions of them. Adhukam, Arthidam. This human life in Durlabha Mahaj was very rarely achieved. Now we've got it. You know the expression the magicians use? Now you see it, now you don't. That's our life. Now you see it, now you don't. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? Avyakta nini bhutani vyakta vadhyana bhavata. Avyakta nirnani evanta trakapanye. First we're not seen. Then we're seen. Then again, not seen. Before birth, not seen. Then we're born, we're seen for some time. Then again, unseen. But does it mean that I only exist when I'm seen? Just now, I've come into the room, I'm seen. And I'll leave the room, or you'll leave the room, and I'll be unseen. But does it mean that I only exist while you're seeing me? Previously, I was in some other room. And when the glasses go over, I'll go to some other room. Not that my only existence is seeing, is believing. If you don't see me, I don't exist. You don't believe I exist. We're all seen for some time, and then we leave, and we're unseen. But it's not that this is our life, the part that you see. But we think that way. And we're busy preparing for life, especially if you're in India, the boys are sent to school at the earliest possible age so they can get ahead on their education, their exams, competitive, college, career. So much energy invested for one life. And what happens after this one life? No, we don't care. You should be happy. You should have a good career. You should have a good family. You should have a good job. And you should go to hell. All that energy invested for one life. And then what happens afterwards? Just blanked out. This is childish. The child doesn't want to go to school and study so many hours. He wants to play. He wants to live for the present. And he doesn't even think about it. I'll grow up, I'll get married, I'll need a job, I'll need money. He just wants to jump up and down and play. So the parents are very far-seeing. They see, no, you'll grow up, you'll get married, you'll have job, you'll need money. But they don't see past that. Only one lifetime. And then the door closes and we don't see anything beyond that. That means short-sighted. The business manager will say, oh, you're very looking to the future of your child. But you're not. Only this much. And what happens after that? Why your child? My own self I don't care about. I care about my future, means I should have enough money to retire on. That's all. And I should be able to retire comfortably, surrounded by my children and grandchildren. What more could you ask than that? And then when that's finished, right. Go to soul. Childish. They're not thinking about their actual future. They're thinking about this much of the future and neglecting the rest. And the rest can go on for millions and millions of lifetimes. I may be born as a tree, I may be born as so many different species of life again and again and again. And this is my opportunity to get out, but I'm busy living for a future of 20 years, 40 years, 50 years. That means short-sighted. That means short-sighted. Even when they pride themselves on being very serious about their future, short-sighted. Mother, not considering that again and again I have to take birth and again die. Then what is the benefit of investing my time in trying to become Krishna conscious and understand Krishna? If I understand Krishna factually, not sentimentally, superficially, in some whimsical way, but actually if I understand Krishna and the science of Krishna, then the result is chakvadeham, when I leave this body, which I'll have to do, I don't have to come back and accept the next body. Then, mamiti. Krishna has his other world. We're living in this small, small world, very preoccupied with its duties and problems. But prastasmantu bhavamyo yato yartasana. This world is created and destroyed again and again. Periodically destroyed again and again. But beyond this world is the permanent world of Krishna. Nashyasu, Navinashyasu. When everything else is destroyed, that part remains as it is. And our real purpose is to go there and live permanently with Krishna. We all want to live permanently as long as possible. But here in this world, no one can live. Everyone is sentenced to death. But by understanding Krishna, chakvadeham punarjanmanaiti mamiti, one goes back to Godhead, back to Krishna. That means restored to healthy life, restored to our real life. We're not meant to suffer like dogs in this material world, trying to enjoy with the help of a college diploma. We're meant to get out of this material world and go back to God. And that's the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement. That's the benefit of understanding the science of Krishna. Now, why are we wasting time talking about this fish? By understanding Krishna, chakvadeham punarjanmanaiti, one can attain perfection of life. So we have so many books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as it is, so many. And we have this Parikirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
made us where we can take advantage of it with that. Some questions? Do we have a microphone for the market?
Thank you so much. I have a question about your lecture. Thank you for giving a nice lecture. You said about that we should not be sentimental. We should not be doing sentimentally anything, bhakti, nor be foolish, nor be whimsical. How we can do bhakti in a way to please Lord Krishna?
Very.
How we can do bhakti to please Lord Krishna?
Yes. How can we do bhakti and please Krishna? For that one has to be trained. It's not just sentiment. Anything. Just like you get an assistant for your work. So it's good that the assistant is sincere. That's required. But that's training also. You do this, you do this, you don't do it this way, you do it this way. Then it becomes a very good, invaluable servant. Yes, whenever I need something, I just tell this person and tell it just the right way. Properly trained. Sincerity is needed. Insincere servant is not very good. But then trained. Therefore, the spiritual master's guidance is wanted. The spiritual master engage with us this way, serve this way, this way. So that it becomes pleasing to us. How do we please Krishna? By pleasing the servant of Krishna. To please Krishna is not such an easy thing. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if we please the servant of Krishna, then Krishna is more pleased. Of course, Krishna is easily pleased. But when we please the servant of Krishna, that is still more easy. Is that okay?
You said how we can please the servants of Krishna. How will you actually please them also?
Ask them. Krishna has a mission in this world, and the servant of Krishna has some mission, and we can assist. It's like Prabhupada had so many things he wanted to accomplish, especially publishing books, distributing books, establishing temples, spreading the holy name of Krishna. It wasn't a confidential secret what Prabhupada wanted us to do. Open requests. And those who would take the request seriously would be appreciated. Yes. Didn't have to be a big sannyasi, this person. Anyone who took up the mission of the spiritual master, the request of the spiritual master, be appreciated. Something else? Yes.
Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. Maharaj, generally when we go for book distribution, we meet many people who actually read the Bhagavad Gita, although not Bhagavad Gita as it is, they've read the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says in chapter 18, this most confidential knowledge of mine should not be imparted to people who are MBAs in chapter 18. So generally a question that people who read the Bhagavad Gita, without the purpose of Srila Prabhupada, they've read Bhagavad Gita. So they say that you ISKCON people, you distribute books in stations, bus stops and stuff like that. During the December book marathon, we distribute books in the stations, bus stops, everywhere. So sometimes I've been questioning that Krishna says that this confidential knowledge should not be imparted to people who are NDAs, but you're distributing this knowledge openly to everybody. So how do we explain why you're doing this, when Krishna has specifically stated that this confidential knowledge of men should not be imparted to people who are MBAs or MBAs of police. If you can explain
knowledge. This knowledge should not be distributed to those who are MBAs. Therefore, we look for some qualification. You give us a contribution, then we'll give you a book.
Maharaj, you should not be distributing book for free at all. Is that what is the underlying principle? That we have to give some contribution in terms
that
of faith or...
That Prabhupada's... Yes, that if we distribute free, then they take it as not very valuable. What did they say? Price is the indicator of value. So if the price is free, then it must not be very valuable. And I can take it and throw it also. But if they give something, that means they acknowledge that it has value. And they perform some sukriti also. They've done some service. They've given a contribution. It's not a small thing. They've done something. So now they've given a contribution. Our brother Vaisheshika Prabhu, who distributes books all over the world, when he distributes, for example, in America, he'll ask for a contribution. And he'll explain that by giving a contribution, it helps you understand the book. And, you know, you figure, well, how does giving a contribution help you understand the book? You know, if I'm buying some novel and I pay for it, how does paying for it help me understand it? You know, there's no connection. But intuitively, people understand. When he says it helps you understand the book, they think, yes, it helps me understand the book. And they're right. Because they've given a contribution to Krishna, they've begun some service to Krishna, it helps them understand the book. Their service has begun. There's a story Prabhupada told that there was some sannyasi, and he was traveling and begging alms. And he came to some house, and the householder was on the balcony. He said, oh, there's some beggar. Give him some ashes. Well, the sannyasi said, yes, give me some ashes. But let your charity begin. Give something. So Prabhupada would say that, yes, don't just give the books for free and then have them treated negligently. People must give something. It doesn't matter. They may give more, they may give less. But by giving a contribution, now they've done some service for Krishna. It will help them understand the book.
Thank you, Maharaj. It is also, when we distribute books, it is also when they see only they get sukriti, right? They look at the book. Even though people do not buy books, they look at the books, right? Like every day when we put it on the station or in the bus stop, every day when people look at it, and even though they may decide not to buy, that adds up to their sukriti, right? Every time
wait a second. You're speaking faster than I can decode. So just maybe 20% slower and we'll...
somebody may not buy a book, but the mere fact that they are looking at, you know, Lord Krishna's picture on the book, or, you know, Lord Krishna actually giving the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, every day they're looking at that book, does a person automatically get sukriti, or he has to spend that whatever, there's a 150 or whatever, only then this process...
Of course,
starts.
Even by seeing, he's benefited. That's a fact. But by giving a contribution, he's making a sacrifice. Yagya dana tapas pragapadanani manishina. Sacrifice is purified. So, and he's made a commitment. Just like even in ordinary dealings, a man buys a some jewelry for his wife or girlfriend. That means there's a commitment. That means I value you. Why am I buying you a diamond? I keep the money in my pocket. But because I think that you're wonderful, beautiful, highly qualified, and so on. So I'm investing. Yes, give her something. So that's a sacrifice. I can keep the money for myself. But I'm buying some jewelry for my wife, for my girlfriend. That means sacrifice. So when they give money, that means they're making a sacrifice. It may not be a very big sacrifice, but they're sacrificing. So they get more benefit. Speak right into the microphone.
Hare Krishna, yesterday's class, you have Bhagavatam answered your question. You said that if someone is not being serious in Krishna consciousness, it helps to be situated in particular ashram.
Then, that's why you're situated in?
Just like to be situated in ashram, like someone, if a boy is not serious, get him married or like. Just, you said that yesterday. So, about being rightly situated in an ashram...
10% slower.
So, is bhakti dependent on karma? Because to be situated in the...
No, it's not dependent. But the question yesterday was that we have some boys, they're associating with us, college students, but they come and go and they get involved in sinful activities and they get distracted. So then the answer is that they should be in normal life. Not in cat and dog life. If they want to associate with young women, that's fine. They marry one and live like a gentleman. Not going from one woman to another American style. So that was the point. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness can be executed from any position. But to be Krishna conscious and at the same time involved in illicit pursuit of sense gratification is contradictory. Bhogashaya prasaktaranam prayatri. So let that be fixed up in normal life. Young men and women, let them be married. And from that position, execute Krishna consciousness. It's not dependent. You can be married or not married. But don't be involved in all nonsense. And at the same time, try to be Krishna conscious. It will be very difficult. You have to give up your nonsense. What is that nonsense? I want women. Don't take one and be happy. And chant Hare Krishna. That was the idea.
Suppose
we are doing service with my
Maharaj, we are doing routine services, service in a temple or anywhere.
Service,
no? Service we are doing, yeah, service. We feel that we are doing bhakti, or devotional service. But in real sense, we are doing that one or not, we are doing bhakti or we are doing real devotional services.
We're doing bhakti, but.
Suppose I'm doing some service, I'm book distribution or cooking prasadam. I'm thinking that I'm doing the service to the Lord, trying to please the Lord. The activity which I'm doing, in a real sense, it's loving devotional service or bhakti, or it's just my self-satisfaction. How I know that one?
Why not bhakti?
How can I know that?
Bhakti means that for Krishna's sake, Rishikena Rishikesha Seva, when I engage my senses for this pleasing Krishna senses, that's bhakti. Of course, sarvapadi vinirvik muktam. I should free myself from thinking I'm this body, I'm this, that. But Krishna consciousness doesn't just mean, again, sentiment, feeling. It's practical activity.
So usually our feelings is more than the changes that the things that we don't understand, that we are doing services or we just pleasing your life, this is never says.
You pleasing yourself also.
When I'm pleasing myself, how can I please the Krishna?
No, if you're not pleasing Krishna, how will you please yourself? Just if you want to please the hand, you put the food in the stomach, and the hand will get the nourishment. If you put it in the palm and let it sit there, nothing will happen. So it's in the hands, or if the hand thinks, let me hold on to it. So the hand that serves the stomach is serving its own interests, but it's serving the stomach's interests, and in that way it's all. Mate vidu svarta katini vishnu. We're thinking, we're acting for our self-interest. We don't know what our self-interest is. Our real self-interest coincides with Krishna's interest. Just like Arjuna, I shall not fight. In nonsense rest. Krishna said, fight. Then when Krishna had the interest, I want you to fight, and Arjuna cooperated, yes, I'll fight, that's bhakti. It was that Arjuna's also in his own self-interest. He became the hero of the Kurukshetra war, but that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was, all right, Krishna wants me to fight. It may be pleasing or not pleasing. Killing my grandfather is not what we do for pleasure. But Krishna's asking not to do it.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In Krishna's pastimes, when he displays a particular emotion, is he acting or is he actually feeling that?
No, he's feeling. This is the action of Krishna's pastime energy. That's not just show, he really feels it. He's experiencing all these things.
So Maharaj, sometimes this would require a forgetfulness of Krishna's identity as the Supreme Personality. For example, when Krishna is running from Mother Yashoda in Damodar Leela and he's actually scared, then he must forget for a while.
Yes, he forgets. He doesn't always want to remember I'm the Supreme Personality. He takes pleasure in forgetting his exalted position. I'd like to control your microphone right here.
Krishna Maharaj, you said that the advancement that a person makes in spiritual life is to the extent of the person getting a taste in chanting the holy name of the Lord. The more you want to chant the holy name of the Lord, to that extent you're making advancement. But in my own personal case, I enjoy hearing about the Lord, you know, doing
kirtan. Chanting, hearing, serving. Generally, the more we chant Hare Krishna, the better. But it's not only chanting Hare Krishna. Someone, he won't chant, but he'll do some service. He'll make some advancement. And by that advancement, he'll think, well, why don't I chant?
So advancement is not necessarily measured with the, that's not the only parameter. Is that what you're saying, Maharaj?
What's that the only parameter?
Chanting
is very important. Generally, when we see that someone loves to chant Hare Krishna, we think he's advanced. But even without chanting Hare Krishna, sometimes someone, he just wants to come and serve. And then he likes to serve, he wants to serve more. And then still more. Even if he's not chanting, but he wants to serve, then he'll make advancement. And the result of the advancement is he'll also want to chant. Okay,
yes. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Actually, question is that when we join in the organization,
then we are trained for a particular task, and then we are expected to do something. A special task is given to us.
So when we join the organization, we're expected to do something. I'm talking
about the physical world.
The material world.
Physical world, material world. We are given a task, we are trained for that, and then we are expected to do something. Similarly, now we have joined this organization, ISKCON. So how do we know that what is our role? So
how will we know what?
What is our role? What we have to do?
Well, you can ask. if you join the organization, then ask the leaders of the organization, what am I supposed to do? That's all. Pretty simple. We have our temple president, other leaders, senior devotees. Ask them, what am I supposed to do? They'll say, do this, do this.
They will tell.
They'll tell. They're not going to keep it secret. They'll tell you what you should do, what you shouldn't do. It's open, open secret. No intoxicants, no gambling, no meat eating, no illicit sex. Then chant Hare Krishna. And there's so many other services. And all open. Nectar of devotion, you eat. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Everything's there.
So it will increase my spirituality. At the same time, I will purify myself. But even though I just finished my just like office work and all those things. But at the same time, when I'm just sitting for chanting like Hare Krishna rounds, so there I recall something. Oh, now I have to do this. First I have to finish this also. Means there are a lot of distractions actually. Means I'm not getting that trust actually. Means how to please Lord Krishna when I'm just chanting. So I just want that trust. Chanting by God, means name of the Lord only. So I just feel pleasure because I'm chanting. But I'm not getting that pleasure because I'm not able to.
Therefore, there's two things in chanting. There's quantity and there's quality. What is quality? Quality means there are 10 aparas, offenses, to be avoided while chanting. And one of them is inattention. Big one. So what is that inattention? I'm distracted by this, I'm distracted by that. So what to do? Go on chanting. Srila Goswami says that if we commit offenses while chanting, we should go on chanting and trying to avoid those offenses. So what can I do? I'm distracted by this, I'm distracted by that. So you try to make your environment, first of all, in such a way that you'll not be distracted. Just like if you have a report to write for your job or something of that nature, you'd arrange your work in such a way that you wouldn't be distracted. You press the little thing on your phone that says now for 2 hours, no notifications. You close your web browser. There's so many things that distract. So you would try to arrange your environment in such a way that now I'm doing this only. I know my tendency is to be distracted by so many things. I'm working, but I get distracted. So part of what I have to do is everything else off the desk. Right? This is what I'm working on. That's called focus, concentration. So chanting means chanting with concentration. So we can try to arrange it in such a way that other things are put put aside that this time is reserved for this? Have you had some serious thought to do with your parents or your wife or your employer? You would arrange that while this is going on, no distractions. And someone came in and said, "I'm sorry, I'm talking to, you know, can I talk to you in half an hour?" Right? The world will go on, and half an hour later, things will still be there. So, no, this is important. I have to talk to this person. That means shutting out other things. That's the practice. So I can try and do it with my physical environment. And then even, you know, I'm in a nice, quiet place, nothing to distract me, but my mind is there. And it wants to go here and there and everywhere. So then, you know, I have to discipline my mind. But no, you can come back in half an hour and chant Hare Krishna. That's called Pratyahara, driving out other things and focusing Dhyana. So then that becomes quality in chant. And then you get more things.
During Satyuga, the Vedic knowledge was transferred.
During
Satyuga.
Satyuga.
The Vedic knowledge was transmitted from one.
First of all, I'm not. Okay, there you are.
During Satyuga, the Vedic knowledge was transmitted from one person to another person through the process of hearing. So there was no hard copy as such. So how did the demon Haridrava stole the Vedic knowledge?
No, he didn't steal a digital copy or something. He was not entitled to the knowledge, but he took the opportunity while the sound vibration was coming out from us. That's the description.
So, my question is, in the vanity karma, you are juxtaposing...
You want to hold it first.
In the book Vanity Karma, you are juxtaposing Ecclesiastes with the Bhagavad Gita. So similarly, I would like to understand your viewpoints from the Matsya Avatar incident and the biblical incident of Noah.
Oh, some comparison between Noah's business and Matsya Avatar's business.
Yes.
Well, what can you say? There's a lot of water. There was a boat, there were people in it and all sorts of other species. They got saved. So in that sense, there's similarity. There's no mention in Noah's pastime of any fish. There's no mention in Moses' pastime of any gnomes. So there are similarities and differences. It's intriguing to think how these two stories are there, but I don't know the answer. Somehow some similarities there. And we will have to be intrigued, but unlikely to be satisfied. Sanskrit mud means no, but I don't think that has a connection. Matsya? Yes, go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Sir, Krishna consciousness chanting the mantra.
Hold on, we have to put the GPS into action. Okay, there you are. Oh, you're back there, okay. You're back to the GPS.
As I was saying that when you chant the mantras, that is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Krishna consciousness, and utmost purity, and immediate, that would be dedication and determination towards our goals, and determination towards our work, and determination towards our life. What I would suggest is that what if we could pray for eternity? What if we could pray for eternal smiles and eternal prosperity? Eternal life, eternal prosperity.
Can we pray for eternal life?
Sure.
You can, but you already have eternal life. Nirjayate miyate bhakti. For the soul, there's no birth or death. So you already have eternal life, but you've lost it by forgetfulness of your constitutional position and forgetfulness of Krishna. So you simply have to uncover it. And you don't need to make a separate endeavor for eternal life. When you become Krishna conscious, automatically your eternal life is restored. One approach is, let me pray for eternal life. Let me pray for happiness. Let me pray for knowledge. Let me pray for peace. Let me pray for this. That's all right. But if you become Krishna conscious, you automatically get peace, you automatically get knowledge, you automatically get eternal life, you automatically get happiness, you automatically get everything. So just become Krishna conscious. Everything else is included in the passage. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. I have a doubt. In the class you mentioned about the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Naha Prakash Sarasya Yoga Maya Samamata. It was translated as that I don't manifest myself to the foolish, and they are covered by my internal potential, the spiritual potency. That is the Yoga Maya. And then there is a material potency as well as Mahamaya. Okay. So why Lord covers the intelligence of the foolish or those who are not devotees by his internal potency rather than the external potency? How am I supposed to understand?
Why does he say internal potency rather than external potency? Essentially.
Yes.
Yes. Yoga Maya Samanism. One meaning is that the Mahamaya is a portion of the Yoga Maya. The Yoga Maya includes Mahamaya also. Ultimately, the Lord's spiritual potency includes the material potency. Everything's included. Ultimately, Krishna's potency is all spiritual. And a portion is called the material potency. A portion of the Yoga Maya appears as the Mahamaya. Another meaning is, Yoga Maya is the potency by which Krishna is partly concealed and partly revealed. So just like Kamsa, Krishna was revealed to him. There he is, standing in front of you. But Krishna was concealed from him. Oh, he's the son of my sister, he's this, that. He wasn't seen. Here's the Supreme Personality of God. So Yoga Maya acts in that way, so that disclosing Krishna's presence, yes, you can see Krishna, but you can't. You're seeing, but you're not seeing. Sometimes that's favorable, just like Yashoda Mayi. She's seeing, but she's not seeing, here's the Supreme Personality of God. She's saying, here's my son. That's Yoga Maya acting with the devotees. But with the mudhas, they're also not seeing that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they're not seeing with love, here's Krishna. They're seeing with enmity. And that's how Yoga Maya acts with the mudhas. For the mudhas, all right, you'll never understand Krishna. And for the devotees, loving the ends.
Hello, Maharaj.
Hello. Excuse me?
You said it's waterman or fisherman. And the waterman wants to become Krishna consciousness. And he doesn't, at the same time, he doesn't have to leave his job. Is it possible? And
someone wants to be Krishna conscious, but he doesn't want to leave his job. Is it possible?
As a butcher.
As a butcher.
What happened to those fishes or those animals? After being cut by the Krishna consciousness, waterman or Krishna consciousness?
after being slaughtered by a Krishna conscious picture, what comes at the end? The animals wouldn't, do they get some benefit by being slaughtered by a Krishna conscious picture?
Nivritatayashara, Nivritatayashara Dhanatashara. Sukadeva Goswami says that everyone can come to Krishna consciousness except the person who is addicted to killing animals. It will be very difficult. We don't find Krishna conscious poetry.
What about the story of the Shaligram as a weight, counterweight for the...
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah. Maharaj, actually, I have two questions. First question is, Maharaj, I'm talking about myself, that when I chant Hare Krishna mantra, I don't feel a lot of joy in the heart. But at the same time, when I'm present in the any kirtan festival or hearing the kirtan takes some recorded kirtans, feel very happy. So I wonder at times, Maharaj, why the holy name is same. It's all attractive, but in the one form I feel happy, in the other form I don't feel that happiness. So what would be the reason, and how do I develop the taste for chanting the holy name?
How do we develop
taste for chanting?
Taste for chanting. By chanting. You go on chanting, go on chanting. No, seriously. So you go on chanting and you'll get more taste for chanting. In the probationary stage, sometimes we feel happiness, sometimes we don't feel happiness. Sometimes we feel taste, sometimes we don't feel taste. Just like a patient recovering from jaundice. Sometimes he has some appetite, sometimes he doesn't have any. But when he recovers, he'll get full taste. So for the jaundiced patient, if sugar candy is prescribed, sometimes he feels some taste, sometimes no taste. But if he goes on taking sugar candy day after day, it cures the jaundice and he tastes it as sweet. We should go on chanting, and the sweet taste will come. Stay. Is that okay?
Why in kirtan we feel happy at times, but not in the individual chanting?
Why kirtan?
Kirtan, you feel happy always, but individual chanting, not so much.
Why do you get steady happiness from kirtan and not so steady from japa? It's easier to focus when everybody's chanting and kirtan's going on. Therefore, kirtaniya sadhanavi, shri chaitanya mahaprabhu, param vijayate shri krishna sankirtan. For the people in general, especially, kirtan is more important. Kirtan is more important. If we try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all around the world by japa, it would be very hard. The japa will help us, and the japa is important, but the kirtan is the yuvatar. Very easy to do, and very ecstatic. But the job also should be continued, and it will harm us. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you. Max, can I ask one more question? Maharaj, this question comes very often in the mind, like as a practicing devotee, it's something in practicality, like say for a marriage or some other thing, people go and show their astrological chart.
For marriage, yeah, people go to astrology, yes.
Yeah, so how much importance a practicing devotee or initiated disciple should give to astrology, or when say he goes and buys a new house, he shows to the people for Vastu and other thing. So we understand the one aspect that wherever there is Krishna and the holy name chanted, that place is all the pure, and Krishna purifies the whole atmosphere and the relationship. But at the same time, there is a doubt that we should show astrological chart and other things. So how a practicing devotee should balance it?
That's up to him. If he's have strong faith, you'll think, anyway, whatever, let me just chant Hare Krishna. This house, that shape, north, south, chant Hare Krishna, every place becomes auspicious. Doesn't matter. Astrology, this Jupiter is here and Saturn is there. Chant Hare Krishna all the time, it's become auspicious. If he doesn't have such strong faith, then he can consult an astrologer. Astrology is meant to be supportive. It's not meant to be central. Just like, yeah, so many examples. The main thing is Krishna consciousness. And then everything else is meant to be subordinate to that. You'll be louder, but he has the microphone. I see. Okay.
May not necessarily have disobeyed his orders, but when he has given us some suggestions, we have not acted according to that. And when we have realized that what he told, what he suggested was actually right, so can we do something about it? How to do atonement or how to rectify the situation?
Spiritual master has given us some suggestion or order, and we don't follow it, and then realize later that it was right. And we should think that I was such a fool. And I should rectify my course. As a man who neglects medical advice or financial advice, and he loses his money or loses his health, I don't think I was such a fool. I neglected this good advice that I've lost my money or damaged my health. In the future, I'll take this advice seriously. And Krishna consciousness is more important than money and health. Health is temporary, money is temporary. Krishna consciousness is still more important. Well, how serious that would be about following good instruction. I need some good instructions to how much do I stop here? Do I keep speaking? Someone who's 2:45.
4 minutes. 2 or 3 minutes.
2 or 3 minutes. Okay. You got lots of questions. Over here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. I want to ask about the determination. We make the plans and we try to do it for 3-4 days or for a week. We can do it, but again then there is a gap. We are not able to do the things like more chanting, more reading.
So what to do about that? We're determined and then we start some program and then there's a gap. I don't know that I have the true or all answer for that. We should continue. But all right, there was a gap, but that gap should now be filled in. I tried to do it, but I didn't do it. Now let me be more serious and do it. Become steady. Or you may reevaluate your program. I tried to do so much. expression is biting off more than one can chew. So let me take some step and then become steady with that much, then steady with more, and then steady with more. That's another consideration. Or look at your program. You decided that you would chant this many rounds, but then you used up all the time on other things. You didn't allocate, it was like in some business. You allocated money, you allocated people, but you didn't allocate time. You allocated time, but you didn't, and you allocated money, but you didn't assign people. So any plan, you need money, you need people, you need determination. So you can review your program. Your determination was to read, but you didn't leave yourself a proper time. Your determination was to chant, you didn't leave yourself a proper time. Very often that proper time is the morning time. Because once the day gets going, then it doesn't matter how much determination you have. The boss wants this, the wife wants that, the kids want this, your friends want that. And everything goes in every direction. But in early morning, that time is especially valuable for spiritual practices. You can focus without distraction. Sometimes I mean just take a rest earlier also. Early to bed, early to rise. Okay. Competition is set in. Shall I stop here?